Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better. NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mike Florio joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Always a joy to talk to Mike. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, Mike.
Hey, doing great. How are you guys today?
We live the dream, and it's not surprising, Mike. Our buddy Brad Biggs checking in this morning with a story on Mitchell Trubisky, and the idea being that if Carson Wentz can get 6 years at $154.7 million, every quarterback gets paid. And is it possible if Mitch can take a step forward next year that he could be in line for such a contract? And, you know, it's not impossible, but, again, I think he definitely has to take that step forward. And it seems like we want to have the happy thought that he does and they pay him, but there's always that other thought that maybe he doesn't and they shouldn't.
Well, you know, for a while there was a string of quarterbacks that were getting record-setting contracts, more so for the fact that they were just there. And we don't like the idea of this guy not being here, so I guess we have to make him the highest paid player in NFL history. That happened with Jim Carr, kind of happened with Matthew Stafford. Jim Garoppolo gets a big contract, Kirk Cousins. And I think now we're getting close to a point. I don't know when it's going to happen. We're getting close to a point where a quarterback is going to want a ton of money and the team's just going to say, no, thank you. Kind of like what happened with Kirk Cousins, but they went franchise tag 2 years before the team said no thank you. But with one of these young quarterbacks, I just feel like statistically it's got to happen where a team says, we'll find somebody else. We'll pay him a hell of a lot less under his rookie contract, and then we'll figure it out there.
Yeah, because I think that we're ahead of the game here, and I understand why. I understand what Kirk Cousins' contract in Minnesota did to every other contract around the league for quarterbacks, and Carson Wentz signing because Mitch has the same agent. We want to attach some significance there, but he doesn't. They can't talk until after this season, and they don't have to sign him then. It's not an or else type of situation. We get so far ahead of ourselves, Mike. I think before Mitch Trubisky has proven himself, I guess my question to you would be that: do you think Carson Wentz is worth the investment the Eagles made with him because there is such a domino effect to that contract?
Well, and the Carson Wentz contract, it all depends on how you look at it. And this is a very common argument that I engage in with agents. The new money analysis of the Carson Wentz contract puts him up in the top five of all quarterbacks at $32 million per year. But when you factor in what he was due to make over the final 2 years of his rookie contract, he's making $25.5 million per year at signing. And they never extend the contract. They rip it up and they replace it with a new one. But the agents like to focus only on the new years and the new money because it makes the deal worth more. In this case, it's a $7 million per year spread. So with Wentz, look, here's what's going to happen. If he becomes the guy that the Eagles expect him to be, and they believe he can be that guy if he stays healthy, and they've already chosen him over Nick Foles, they almost had to pay him at this point. And they've given him a contract that is great, but it's not spectacular. It's not record-setting. And the thing is, the salary cap's going to keep going up. The revenues will keep going up for the NFL as legalized gambling spreads. And in a couple of years, if the market at quarterback keeps going up, it's gone up $10 million in less than 2 years, from 25 to 35 at the top of the market in new money, millions per year, 25 to 35. If it keeps going up, a couple of years from now, Wentz may say, I'm getting screwed here. So it's all about the timing And it's all about when to strike and how much risk each side wants to take. The Eagles are taking the risk that he may not be very good and he may continue to get injured. Wentz is taking the risk that he may end up being great and he may regret in a few years making that commitment. So that's going to be the challenge for the Bears with Trubisky. When do they move? And if he gets to a level this year and they anticipate a higher level after 2020, maybe the time to strike is after 2019.
It'll be fascinating to watch, and I know that you've faced some issues with your criticism of Jared Goff, but that's another guy that you got to look at, and they got to figure out what he is and how much they're paying him, and Sean McVay. You know, it's a lot like in Chicago, where is it the chicken or egg? Is it Matt Nagy or Trubisky? Look, is it McVay or is it Goff? I mean, it's a legitimate thing to wonder.
Yeah, and I've never suggested that the Rams would just say, we're done with Jared Goff, we're moving on. But if Jared Goff decides to make a moonshot, right, if he says, I want $40 million a year, there's going to be a number, whatever it is, where the Rams say, we're just not going to do it because we can go out and draft somebody that Sean McVay can develop into a great quarterback. Or if we're going to pay $40 million a year for Jared Goff, maybe there's another veteran we try to acquire via trade, or you know, maybe there's a guy who makes his way to free agency. At some point, there's going to be a team that says, we're just not doing it. There's going to be maybe every quarterback works out a deal with every team and it never happens. But I feel like the way the numbers have gone up over the last couple of years, we're moving toward territory where someone's going to want more than the team's going to want to pay. And it is going to be a Kirk Cousins type of a situation. But Kirk Cousins is a middle-of-the-pack guy. I'm talking about something like this playing out with a guy who's a top-10 quarterback.
So, Mike, out in San Francisco, the 49ers' mandatory minicamp will be skipped by Robbie Gould. That's not any surprise. There's Kyle Shanahan said yesterday, I think it was maybe 2 days ago, as long as Robbie shows up for week one, that's all he really cares about. Where's that headed? And obviously people in Chicago are watching that a little bit closer than the people maybe in other NFL cities because they're still looking for a kicker here. And certainly Robbie Gould has made it no secret how comfortable he would be in returning to the Bears. But is that even possible or conceivable given where the 49ers are?
I think it's possible until July 15 because that's the deadline for signing a player who carries the franchise tag to a multi-year contract. After that, if the 49ers were to trade him to the Bears, for example, July 16 or any time after that, all the Bears could do is sign into a one-year contract. So that wouldn't be an ideal situation for the Bears if you're going to give up anything of value for Gould to only have him locked up for 1 year. So if something does get done, I think it gets done by July 15. And after that, you know, the Bears, I think at a certain point they just have to watch and wait and see who gets cut from other teams. The only problem is the final cut, the only cut now, happens the weekend of Labor Day. That's Saturday. Everybody goes from 90 to 53. And the Bears play the following Thursday. So they sit around and wait for their kicker to get cut by another team. And they bring him in, what, Sunday or Monday? And then you got a game on Thursday night. That's going to be a hell of an accelerated learning curve. Not that there's much to do other than show up and kick, but still, you throw all the other factors on top of it, the pressure the guy's going to face. It could get very, very interesting. It already is, but it could get even more interesting if the Bears are thinking they're just going to wait until guys get cut when early September rolls around.
I kind of laughed when I saw that Oakland is going to be the team that is on Hard Knocks just because the Khalil Mack thing here in Chicago, you know, the Bears actually played them in London this year. They could it could be fun to watch John Gruden, period, end of story, but there's a couple of connections here that make it amusing for Bears fans.
Well, and I think it should be very compelling. Now, I want to know what kind of a bathroom deal was done between the Raiders and the league to get the Raiders to agree to do it. I don't think anybody wanted to do it. There were five teams that could be told, you're doing it, we don't care. But I don't think the NFL wants to force someone to do it. You don't want to have those cameras show up and everybody give them the cold shoulder or, you know, give them the finger every time they see them like James Harrison did when he was with the Bengals 6 years ago and he wanted nothing to do with Hard Knocks. And I really think deep down the reason John Gruden didn't want to do it, he's going to play to the cameras. He's going to mug for the cameras. He's going to talk to the cameras. And if anything, it becomes a distraction of what he's there to do. He's there to get his football team ready. But I think he understands very keenly the value to the Raiders of having that platform. And I think he's going to be great. I think he's going to be the best coach we've seen on Hard Knocks since Rex Ryan in 2010, and he could be better. So I think it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very entertaining. But when you look at all the issues the Raiders have this year, they play games in three different countries. They got a preseason game that's a quote-unquote home game in Winnipeg. They go 2 months without playing a game in their home stadium. They're in the process of moving to Las Vegas. There's a lot of strong personalities that they're trying to get all on the same page. You throw Hard Knocks on top of it, and this is going to be a very challenging season for John Gruden and the Raiders.
Fun story in New York, Mike. New Jets general manager Joe Douglas talking to Todd McShay of ESPN about a front office position. Where does that stand, and when is your interview?
Well, yeah, here's what's going on right now in the media. And this started, remember when Daniel Jeremiah's name got floated as a candidate for the Jets GM job and he was never interviewed? This is a CAA power play. CAA has Jeremiah. CAA has the people at ESPN that were floating that Jeremiah was a candidate. Jeremiah, my understanding, you know, he's never gotten an extension, never gotten a raise ever since Mike Mayock left to become the GM of the Raiders. So this is a new avenue for the agents who represent these media people to manipulate the situation to their clients' advantage. And with the Jets, CAA has Joe Douglas, CAA has Adam Gase, CAA has Todd McShay. So CAA, you know, squeeze one client to give the guy an interview. They're friends that played college football together. It's you know, I guess it's an easy sell. And I don't think he's ever getting the job. I frankly think the fact that he went public with the team's interest in him is going to keep the Jets from hiring him. But it gives him leverage with ESPN whenever his contract comes up. And it also, from ESPN's perspective, it gives their guy credibility, right? I mean, isn't it weird? Like, one guy, Mike Mayock, one guy gets a job from the media with an NFL team, and now all of a sudden it's this new avenue for people in the media to explore NFL opportunities. I don't think it's going to become a trend. And, I know plenty of people would love to get me out of the media. It ain't happening anytime soon.
Mike, Zach Ertz says he doesn't have any issue with the women's national team not only winning 13-0, but the way they celebrated, and of course his wife is on the women's national team, so he's heading over to Paris to watch some games. He's going to be in France for the World Cup, and he was given the day off from practice so he could go home and watch that game and watch all the dancing. Is he considered a decent source on this subject?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's definitely got a bias here, but we haven't really ventured down this path of what is and isn't appropriate in soccer, how many points, how many goals, how many celebrations. But, you know, the World Cup is a big deal. Whether you're on the men's team or the women's team, it's once every 4 years, and there's all that build-up, and you get out there, and everything's going your way, and you celebrate. I mean, that's what you do. You celebrate achievements in sports. You celebrate your teammates. You're trying to build the bonds necessary to win the tougher matches. And apparently, how many goals you score can be a tiebreaker when the time comes to figure out who advances. So, you know, I'm always a firm. Now, look, I don't think teams, especially, and this comes up in football, I don't think teams should be calling trick plays when they're up 62-0. But if you're just running your basic offense and the other team can't stop you, what the hell are you supposed to do?
Yeah, but winning by 2 touchdowns in soccer is a bit much.
That's 13-0. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen. No. I mean, I used to play the soccer video game not very well, and I think I can say I never lost 13-0, although it was close a couple times.
Mike, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Mike.
See you guys.
That's Mike Florio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.